You're listening to the Charisma News Podcast, one daily news story well told. I'm your host, Jeff Struss. In a day and hour where the government seems to be chipping away at our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, and other freedoms, how is a Christian supposed to respond? Today, we have the Vice President of My Faith Votes, Paul Isaacs, and he's going to be speaking to us about ways Christians can be thinking and responding in times like these. All of this right after this.
Challenge your church to live out God's love by equipping families in the developing world with clean water. It's as simple as walking or running World Vision's Global 6K for Water on May 22nd from wherever you are, individually or together. Every registration fee helps one person get lasting access to clean water, so every step you take is one they won't have to. Host a Global 6K and get your church on mission for clean water. Change the world at worldvision6k.org/charisma.
Well, Paul, welcome back. And yeah, always happy to have you. These are incredible times. I've heard recently one politician that said things have radically changed regarding our liberties and our freedoms over the past year. And then it just went into lightning speed in the last 100 days. And so you and I have been speaking together about once a week, but it almost seems, you know, it seems like so much has happened. And so, Paul, what's on your mind today? What is the Lord highlighting to you as far as what's happening in the nation and how Christians should be thinking?
Well, you know, every week seems like dog years almost, doesn't it, Jeff? Like it's seven years, you know, so much happens in 1 week. And I want to talk about how a Christian should respond and how some people are responding across the country. You know, back, my friend gave me a printout of something recently when he heard I was going to do a show with you about civil disobedience and how back in 2009, guys got together and they signed a declaration, a call for Christian conscience. And some of these guys are people that we know. But it was this idea of what do we do when we have to kind of dissent. And just to give you kind of something that's fresh on my mind, I want to read you a story of something that just happened yesterday. I got a headline that came across my phone. It said that in Arizona, Vail School Board flees, parents elect new board and vote down the mask mandate. So I click on it because that sounds like something I want to know about. Here's what it says. Hundreds of parents showed up to the Vail School Board meeting to demand the board make masks optional. The board didn't want to hear it, so they walked out of the meeting before it even began. So the parents, under Robert's Rules of Order, voted in a new school board. Wow. Then the new members voted to end the mask requirement for Vail schools.
Incredible.
Yes. Isn't that great? What happens when Christians or when people say, wait a minute, enough of the sense of infringing upon our constitutional freedoms and our God-given rights. You know, that's one thing I love about the Constitution. The rights don't come from the government. The rights don't come from other people. These are inalienable rights. They come from God. And I'd like to talk with you today, if you don't mind, about something that I just listened to. A friend of ours, you may know him personally. I know many of his friends. His name is Steve Gase. Do you know Steve?
I don't.
Steve's a guy from Iowa, and he came up with something that I think Christians need to consider when it comes to this idea of, and I'm going to use the word fighting back metaphorically. So can we talk about his 10 commandments of defiance?
Let's hear it.
Let's do it. So he has these 10 commandments, and I don't know if they were something that he developed, but maybe something a pastor in his life or another friend, but we're going to go through the 10. If we can get through them today, great. If not, and by the way, stop me, Jeff, if you want to discuss any of these. I want this to be a conversation.
Yeah, and if we can't get through them, we'll do it in two parts. We'll make sure we get them through. So go ahead and take your time.
Okay, so commandment number one is assume you're being lied to. Isn't that interesting? And I think this actually started with the Apostle Paul. You know, you think about Paul when he was talking to the Bereans in the scriptures, He wanted them to say, hey, don't take my word for what I'm saying to you. He says, you're noble. You're more noble than this other group because you search the scriptures to see if the things that I'm saying are true. And Jeff, I don't know about you, but right now we have a crisis of where to go for truth. And you and I would say that there's one ultimate source. The one ultimate source for you would be?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. The Word of God. And so that's my filter. There are things, though, that you know I have to consider, you know, when I'm hearing things about vaccines or whether it's about freedom of speech or this issue of the Equality Act or voter integrity or the results of this poll. But the idea potentially is that I need to assume that I'm being lied to, and that leads me to the second commandment, commandment number two, and that is take being informed more seriously than ever before.
You know, those first two commandments, it puts the burden of action on us as believers, as individuals, to take responsibility for how we are interacting with the world and knowing that no one's going to spoon feed this to us. You know, being in ministry, I would travel to different nations and you would hear of other ministers that would travel to different nations and they would talk about, well, in that nation, you know, no one who lives there believes what they say on the news. And even though for us, as Americans, people are skeptical at different networks or different leaders or things like that. But what's happening mm-hmm. is our Christian morality is eroding so quickly. And when it's erodes mm-hmm. so quickly, and we want to encourage the listeners to make sure you're aware of this, because it's eroding so quickly, that underpinning of having a conscience and a moral compass of telling the truth, it disappears. And then everything becomes propaganda, mm-hmm. everything becomes marketing, mm-hmm. everything comes about winning the argument and forwarding your agenda. And so I think when he says, assume you're being lied to, it's saying, listen, Christian, American, we're in a society right now where the highest mm-hmm. aim isn't about telling the truth, it's simply about moving your agenda forward.
Well, and we've seen it in the last week. Major networks that were found out to be lying through the election cycle. Like you saw the James O'Keefe and the Project Veritas meaning
right.
truth, where they were exposed for lying. So, and by the way, that goes for both sides. You know, like I need to be informed and not just go to places that I know will confirm my agenda or my bias. I want to make sure that I'm looking at a number of sources. However, I always say this to my kids, the things that I read and I listen to, the friends that we hang with, and the things that we watch, that's who we're becoming. So I want to go to sources that I know are committed to the truth.
Right.
So that actually goes to where I get my news. So those first two are big. I think you'd agree. Do we have time maybe for three more?
Go for it.
Love number three, commandment number three, according to Steve, says, maintain meekness. And I don't know how you have heard meekness defined, but I grew up thinking that meekness almost meant weakness. You know, meekness was a picture of a guy walking out in sneakers, putting on a cardigan, and talking in a less than masculine voice to me. And I'm not trying to throw any particular guy under the bus, but like that's like, I needed to see. This is what really I want to see is a guy like you know William Wallace. You know, is William Wallace meek? And what meekness is? It's power under control. And we have to have this as believers because we're first and foremost we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. You know, if we've been left in the darkness and we've walked into the light by the grace of God, that's the ultimate identity I have. And so that should shape how I even defy things that I think are wrong in my country. And so maintaining that meekness, does it mean we don't confront? Does it mean we need to confront evil, but it also means that we do it in the right way. And sometimes that can be stern. I know I've had to do that recently with school board people, with principals of schools. Yep. So meekness is commandment number three. Now, you have anything? I don't know. You feel free to jump in here on any of these.
You know, John 10:18, Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up." And, you know, there's a lot of spiritual gifts in the Bible, but being a doormat is not one of the spiritual gifts that's described. It's not a ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's not a ministry for the Christian life, being a doormat. But Jesus said, "I'm not a doormat. No one's just going to take this from me when it's time." Because there was many times they tried to kill him. Mm-hmm. He didn't let them. It wasn't the time. And Jesus knew there was a time to duck out of the crowd, to, you know, change the question, but, you know, not answer a question that was given to him and answer it with another question and say, you know, what's really going on is you're full of wicked intent. Mm-hmm. And we got to talk about that. And then ultimately, when it was time, he laid down his life. But he didn't do it out of weakness. He did it intentionally, voluntarily, and in that strength. And I think that's that picture of meekness that you're describing.
Wow. And that it flows right into commandment number four, and that is to never abandon the motivation. So when I look at what is it that I'm trying to do, am I trying to destroy the other side? Because I do believe there are people that want to destroy conservatives. They want to destroy Christians. You call me a conspiracy theorist, but maybe I am. But what I actually believe there are people that hate and want to destroy anything that stands for the truth. But that cannot be my motivation for them. I want to expose evil. I want to protect our rights. I want to see the kingdom of God advanced. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty. And so that's has to be my motivation, not destroy the other side or inflict as much pain as I can. So that's number four. And this is maybe this will be all that we get to today. I think you'll like this.
Sure.
Commandment number five is know thy enemy. And hint, it's probably not your neighbor. I love how Steve said that, because a lot of times, and I'm just going to be true confession time, I have to give this to the Lord. When I see people outside wearing masks, it all boils this anger up inside of me. I mean, it's a head scratcher to me. I want to go over and say, you do realize that this doesn't seem like common sense, but they're not my enemy. They're not the enemy. The people that are surrounding me that differ from me are not my enemy. It's the spirit's age. It is that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so I got to remind myself of that often, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, with the mask thing, you know, for me, it's like, listen, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask.
Absolutely.
If you want to take a vaccine, take a vaccine.
Yeah.
If you want to call out of work and stay in your home and shelter in place, I mean, my gosh, I want everybody to be able to be free to make those decisions, what they think is the best for their lives, for their spouse, for their children. My goodness, make those decisions.
Uh-huh.
But what you're talking about, what I think is what bothers a lot, many of us, is that it's becoming a new institution of, it's almost like this mob institution.
It's a religion.
It's a religion. And I remember, and I was thinking about this, and this is a bigger discussion, but I remember when I first learned about the early persecution of the early church, you know, and what happened in Rome, and you know, that the citizens of Rome were forced to burn incense to the emperor, and it was emperor worship, and it was the emperor cult, and the Christians refused. And so the state killed them, would kill them, persecute them, take away their homes, take away their jobs. And I thought, you know, why would a country do that? Well, here's the reason. Countries exist with shared values, shared systems of what's good, what's wrong, what's praiseworthy, what's to be shunned. And America, in its weakness, has functioned under a Judeo-Christian morality system. That system, that paradigm, is violently being assaulted. And so what is trying to replace it? It's the woke cult of the state. And so it's not just one mask, it's two masks. It's we're triple masking. It's the virtue signaling. Yeah. It's the right language. It's all of these things. And so it is an assault on freedom. And you said it, if government is the originator of our freedoms, government can take them away. But what was so radical with our founding of our nation, they said, no, it's not government, it's God.
Exactly.
Men belong to God, and our freedoms come from him.
And,
go ahead, Paul.
And render to God what is God's. And only that. Right. You know, let me rephrase this. Render to Caesar only what is his, and to God what is his. Because I think sometimes we're so willing to give up to Caesar or to the government what is not the government's to be given. And so all that to say, we're getting ready to downshift in the next five into more of a, okay, everything felt nice and pretty, and it wasn't, and there's nothing wrong with the first five. They're good. But the next five next week, if we are able to discuss this, are going to really kind of challenge us. As we move into our next five, it's going to, the touchy-feely part of the first five is going to kind of, it's good, let's just say this, Jeff, it's good that we laid the framework for the next five, because the next five are like downshifting and putting it into overdrive, and it's very important that we're willing to obey all the commandments.
Well, it's a powerful discussion. We have to have these discussions. We don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be brash. We don't want to be irresponsible. And we need to be informed. We need to think biblically. We need to be courageous. We need to be brave, because we will stand before the Lord and give an account for how we responded and how we reacted. And future, I mean, this is heavy. This is heavy, but this is true. Future generations will judge us on how we respond at this hour. And I, for one, I want my grandkids and my great-grandkids and great-great-grandkids to look back at this time and say, look at how the church responded. Look at the courage. Look at the bravery. If we have to suffer, we suffered well. We suffered with perseverance. We hold fast to the end. But we weren't silent. We didn't shrink back in fear. We weren't cowards. We held our heads high for the sake of Christ, and we held fast to his name. And ultimately, that's what I think this is about.
Yeah. We have things that we can do now that were not afforded in certain systems of government and certain nations in the past. And let's as Christians be committed to, in the right way, standing up. There's things we can do to address our officials, letters we can write. You know, we can make a visit like I did to the school board and respectfully disagree with things. And we could be like how we started, you know, those people that they met, the hundreds of people that got together, not just one, not just two, but they gathered together and they went. And because the school board, basically, I'm just being honest, I mean, I don't know how they were afraid, maybe they were cowardly, they left. And because of that, we were able, that group was able to see something happen in the right way and say, oh, you left? Well, if you left, that means you've abdicated, and the Robert's Rules of Order says that we can abolish that board and start a new one.
Amazing.
Isn't that great?
Incredible.
Inspiration.
Incredible. It is. It is. And we need that inspiration. We need those examples of people that are speaking up, standing up for their values, and doing the right thing. We've been talking to Paul Isaacs, Vice President of My Faith Votes, an organization that's dedicated to help Christians think and vote biblically. Paul, if someone wants to check out My Faith Votes, where do they go?
They go to myfaithvotes.org, and there's all kinds of ways that you can join us in our efforts to bring Christians and our faith into the place where it's needed, and that's this idea of government and civic responsibility.
Beautiful. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on, Paul. And hey, let's pick this conversation up next week and talk about those other five commandments that we've been discussing today.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, God bless you and God bless the work with My Faith Votes. Take care. You've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. God bless.